Okay. Well, I guess we're going to get started here. But talk a little bit, give you some reflections, and then open it up to take some questions, see how you're doing with the practice itself. I think this practice of the nine bodies is the first time I kind of got an expanded view, understanding, I guess you could say, of consciousness. You know, as practitioners, we tend to lump things in English in one word. So we call it consciousness. And oftentimes, even as I, over the years, have gone on retreats or been in Dhamma talks with Rodney or teachers, and there's always kind of like this question, like, well, is it awareness or is it consciousness? And what is consciousness? And that sense of trying to get it all figured out. Like, there's a consciousness and this is what it is, blah, blah, blah. There's an awareness. This is what it is, blah, blah, blah. And there's mindfulness. Now I know what everything is. That way of being is part and parcel to me why it's so difficult on this path for awakening for us. I remember going to a teacher with the exact same question. And I went to this teacher. I don't know if you guys know him. He's a African monk from Uganda. He's always teaching primarily at IMS, but sometimes he teaches down at Spirit Rock. But he's always my teacher on long retreats. So when I'm going to do a long retreat, I look for a retreat that he's going to be on, and I always pick him as a teacher. Because he and I love his energy. He's upbeat and big like me, and so I just love learning from him in that way. So I went to him one day and I said, during one of our interviews, I said, I just don't get the whole point of what we're supposed to be aware of. I don't understand this awareness and consciousness and, you know, I'm just lost. And he kind of looks, because, you know, he's translating the Pali to English to Ugandan. So he looks at me with this kind of pitiful look, like, you Westerner, you poor pitiful English speaking American. He goes, Buddha did not teach consciousness as one thing. This kind of, it's not one thing. That's the problem. And then he shared these words that I had heard before, but I never linked them together. He talked about vijnana, which is vijnana consciousness. That's one type of consciousness. Citta, which is another type of consciousness. And then this idea of pure awareness. So the vijnana would be like the mental activities of cognizing, our thinking part of the mind. And there is a consciousness around thinking, fixing, comparing, evaluating, judging. We have that capacity, the mental quality of thinking that can go on. And I think of that vijnana type consciousness as the selfing aspect of us, this striving, or where we get caught in the grasping towards wanting something. The citta is more of our capacity to cognize. So it's a mind state, a quality of mind, that within that mind state, there is this talking going on, this grasping or this thinking, this mental activity that's going on in this greater mind state of, let's say, you could have the mind state of sadness. But the mind state of sadness isn't anything. But within that mind state of sadness, there's all this talking that's going on that creates this difficulty. There's this kind of like, within the mind state of sadness, you might have body sensations, but the talking and the imagery takes that body sensation of sadness and turns it into this whole world of what it means to be sad. And we get caught in that. And then one layer back from that is an ability to just be aware of the mind state and the talking going on inside of it. That field of awareness is more of learning to grasp the idea that we have the capacity to know something and not be in that we know. Not caught up in what we know, but we know something exists. So the way Balyogi and Philip in his book kind of talks about this is the difference between sense consciousness, meaning the sensory experience of something that triggers our awareness. I see something and I become aware. I hear something and I become aware. And this illuminous consciousness, which is the capacity to be able to know that I see something. And the example that Balyogi gave to Philip that he put in the book was light is not the light bulb, right? So you could have a light bulb and the light can light up something, but that something that is being lit up is not the light. And the light bulb is not the light, nor is the lamp. The light is actually coming from electricity, which is a field that you tap into when you plug the lamp in. And then that lamp is the faculty by which you can then light up something and you see that object. So I don't want to make it too complicated because I don't want to trigger your analytical vijnana thinking mind that'll start analyzing and figuring it all out. I just wanted to start there to kind of talk about how I see the nine bodies as part of our awakening practice, because nine bodies itself is not awakening. Like, you could study the nine bodies every day, all day for the rest of your life, and you would never get any closer to awakening, because the bodies themselves are just natural aspects of being human. But that is not what leads to awakening. What leads to awakening is the Four Noble Truths, the understanding of dependent origination, the realization that comes with practicing with the Four Noble Truths and dependent origination. So I just want to give a quick little synopsis of how I think the nine bodies supports us in that way. Because we live out of this vijnana type consciousness, this vijnana type sense of awareness of things, levels of consciousness, this sensory, sense object consciousness, you could think of it, it's that way. The sensory expectation is that something should be pleasant. That's why we're leaning into happiness all the time, because sensory wise, there should be something pleasant here. And when we have something unpleasant, the natural inclination would be to fix it. Something's wrong. Fix it, compare it to when it was pleasurable, evaluate it, come to some understanding of how I can get this thing done, get something fixed. Judging it as right or wrong, all of that evaluative stuff happens through our sensory kind of vijnana, mental activity. But when you learn to experience and rest in the bodies that actually allow for the capacity for things to come up, you gradually begin to live less in the impulsiveness of the unpleasantness and more in this awareness, this understanding that this is an inherent part of life. You can begin to see the cycle of dependent origination because you're not caught in the cycle. You are observing the cycle going through. Another way to think of it is you can begin to understand the nature of dukkha, not in the course of trying to eliminate dukkha, but in the course of understanding that dukkha is inherently a part of being a human being. Something that I didn't expect, though, when I started practicing with these bodies, is the, how can I didn't expect the level of courage, qualities like courage, confident, surety, faith, these kinds of inner core qualities, I didn't expect that. But I think what happens is that the more you begin to practice with this sense of capacity versus within the mental activity about something, the more you can see what's the appropriate response. And the wisdom of what is the appropriate response is arising not out of your judgment, your thinking, your evaluation, and your comparing of the way other people do it or the way you think it should be done. Your wisdom of what's the appropriate response is arising out of the moment itself. It's arising out of an ability to see moments in their entirety. It's less you there and more wisdom. I don't know how to describe it. Because these bodies are not you and it's not me. It's the natural arising wisdom. So there's a natural arising wisdom that comes with emotions. There's both the emotions and I can just remember all the years I thought the whole point of practice would be to shave off that anger. I got to get that anger gone because that anger is definitely the problem. So I'm not going to be angry. I'm going to be steady and smooth. Doesn't matter what happens, I'm steady and smooth. Not only is that foolish, it doesn't work. Because I could be biting my tongue, steady and smooth, all through this situation. And then as soon as I leave it, whoever comes upon me next is in a world of trouble. Because that's what we're trying to, I don't want to say it like this. I don't want to offend anyone. I'm speaking from my own self, but I was pretending to be what I thought was a good yogi. I know how to be a good yogi. I'm pretending to be that. And we do get some capacity to pretend because we've been in meditative states where we were peaceful. So the mind does have a physical memory of what it's like, but it's not real. and we can only hold it for so long. And inevitably, we get lost in this, what happened to all that? The all that happens in our lives arise out of a natural part of being human. There is a natural part of being human where our bodies get worn down. The vital body just isn't what it used to be. The older we get, the less vitality we have at times. All of these things are natural parts of being a human being. So to the vital body, low energy is not a big deal. It's just low energy. And it can be aware of that low energy and tap at you and say, oh, our energy's getting a little low. We might want to settle down a bit here. But mostly we ignore that and push towards what we want. And all this practice, I think, of the nine bodies is learning to listen to what the bodies are actually saying. And I begin to feel, when I was on this 3 month, I begin to feel some incredible experiences. I'll give you an example. I got sick. I was on a walk. I got sick. Got some bug. That's pretty normal. We all get sick. We get some cold bug. It's just, I have allergies, and you just sort of get this little allergy or something. And I could feel it when I was going around the walk. But the difference between doing that walk and my normal way of relating to getting sick was I was not at any time disappointed. I didn't have any sense of, oh man, I don't want to get sick on my retreat. I didn't think that. I just had the sense of, oh, my vitality is going to go a little low here. So I got to take some stuff to help the body out. The body's doing what it's going to do, and I'm going to do some things to kind of help it. I've never had this sense of, oh, I'm going to help the body. Like it's a friendly relationship between me and the body. The way I would help a baby if they need some help. I just never had that kind of relationship with a body that had lived through a childhood of trauma. And here I had this relationship that I was going to care for. I was not mad because the body was sick. I was not disappointed. I just was sick. And we're just going to be with that for a while. And then I remember the day I felt this kind of woke up and I'm like, oh, I'm not sick. I feel fine. We did our work together, me and the body working to get that little bug out of there. It's the same way with courage. I fell into this world of doubt because I didn't understand what I was doing. And I was on retreat and I had decided to do this nine bodies retreat by myself. And none of the teachers were nine body teachers. And so I had made an arrangement to talk to Philip, but the teachers on the 3 month didn't want me to talk to Philip very much because he's not there and they're my teacher. So I was listening to these tapes and then faking it, trying to figure out what I should do during the day. And I fell into a lot of doubt about what I was doing and whether I'm doing it right. And I'm not getting concentrated. And I just remember this night having this great courage that said, it's okay. It's okay. We're not going anywhere. We're not changing anything. This is what we're doing. It's okay. This felt sense of knowing I was kind of emotionally distraught, but not being in the emotional distraught. Instead, I was resting in this wider capacity that understood that because I wasn't quite sure what to do, that's where that's coming from. It makes sense. anyway, I think this, in especially in these manifest bodies, where the idea of learning the bodies is to begin to learn how to notice when you're caught up in the objects of the body and how to kind of rest back into this awareness of what these, of the capacity to experience life this way. We're not ever going to get rid of emotions. In fact, I'm so glad I still have my anger. I just, it's almost like I need to have something that's going to get me up and get me to doing something. And that anger kind of shocks me, wakes me back into place. But I don't have to move out of that anger. I can just use that anger to be very aware of what's going on. And I can move out of the wisdom that comes from the gift of having emotions, the gift of it. Let me see if there's anything else I wanted to say. I think one last thing. We'll talk probably more about this tomorrow. We talk about the subtle bodies. But gradually over my practice with these bodies, what is happening is I am beginning to learn that things are lit up. Like, it's like the light shining on something. And that's sort of how I can tell what body is present. And we learn gradually. When I understand something that's present, because it's lit up, I can see it so pronounced, then I can rest back in the body. I can also, like when we get more into the subtle bodies, I can tell when I'm too stuck in the weeds, trying to get something done the way I want it, I can bring in some of the subtle bodies level of spaciousness that we're going to touch in tomorrow. You can learn to bring in, you can begin to see what is missing from the present moment that can help support you in being more fully present, not so constricted into one thing. So I think I'll stop there. And we'll take some questions and answers here. Let me just look here. I see there's a question from about what elements are you relating to? Oh, in the emotional body. Waves and is it water? With the emotional body, We use water, and I could see where you could think of it as water. It kind of has a flowing energy into it, but the element, it's not really an elemental nature of the emotional body, except for probably this sense of water, the water element. It's more about the fact that the ocean has the capacity to be with waves. And just as a wave, it wouldn't make sense for a wave to think, I am the ocean, when it shows up, because it won't be there very long anyway, and it's gonna die down. So it's learning how to see our emotional energies as, I guess, in this waterway of flowing through. But where we want to rest is in this capacity that knows emotions are part of being human and they come and they go. That is the impermanent nature of the emotional body, is the coming and going of waves. So yes, it would be this water as an element. But it's not feeling the water, it's feeling the width and capacity of the ocean itself. So another question here, having trouble, we're not going to take all the questions by chat, but there just happens to be some here. I'm having trouble being conscious of the emotional body when I'm not feeling an emotion. What tips do you have for sensing into that? Yes, that's the problem I had. I didn't have any emotions. This is part of why in my 3 month I had so much trouble, because I wouldn't have an emotion. And I thought, well, if I don't have any emotions, I must not have an emotional body. But that's not actually true. A way to begin to sense into the emotional body without having any emotion is to invite it. So may I know the emotional body. And you don't have to be in meditation for this. I can feel the emotional body just by inviting it. And what you, one way to kind of maybe point to it is to get a sense of the capacity that you have to have emotions. Can you just sense into this moment that you can have emotions, that they do come, they do form within you, and you're getting a sense of that quality, that there is a capacity to know an emotion is present and to know it's not present. That's the capacity, the knowingness that emotions can be there and they cannot be there. And so that's why I was suggesting in the meditation to ask yourself something like, is sadness present? And then waiting to this sense, you know, invite the emotional body and get a sense, sadness is not present. How do you know that sadness is not present? Because there's a consciousness that knows emotions, and it knows when emotions are present, and it knows when emotions are not present. And that consciousness is not in the emotion. That consciousness is just the knowing of an object, of a wave that happens to be passing through. So, Katie, does that kind of help with your understanding?
You can all unmute yourself if you want to speak, if you want to ask a question.
Yeah. So I just want to check, Katie, does that help?
The talk. No, that helps a lot. Thank you.
Yeah. You don't need any emotions. It's the capacity that you can have emotions.
Yes. Yeah, that lands. Thank you.
Good. So let's see if anyone else has a question. I will create this little list over here. And then if you raise your hands, I can check in with you. I would like some people to share how the meditation was for them. If you don't have a question, but you could just let me know how you experienced the different bodies. Yeah, go ahead, Mike. I can't see all your hands. Mike, you're muted. I can't see all your hands. So you may have to use the raise hand feature to the, I think it should be, if you open up the participants bar.
Did I unmute?
Yeah, you're on mute now.
Okay, I'm sorry about that.
That's okay.
I'm really interested in the vital body and trying to get a better sense of it. And I'd really like you to speak some more about it, but I'm intrigued by how it's very much, I think, related to athletic performance. And I'm thinking of people who do the martial arts, and they do things like Aikido, and energy level in performance is really important. Mm-hmm. Skilled athletes, I think, have a really good sense of their vital body. When I think of it, as I was working with it, the only thing I could get my head around was energy. It's kind of the energy behind my physical body. It's the energy behind the emotion. I found that I was nodding off as we were going on, and you know, at some time, and I was and I became very aware of the vital body, and it was tied to energy. But it's really intriguing to me that you could actually have it as a distinct thing. And
yes.
It seems very powerful. And as I read Philip, I think it is kind of an avenue to the subtle body, right?
It is.
Yeah, okay. And maybe you could say some more about that. I don't know, because I think it's a really novel and important idea.
It is energy. Yeah. I did not talk so much about the energy today because that energy does lead to the subtle bodies. It's the same energy line that runs into the subtle bodies. So I stuck today with just aliveness, but it is the energy that moves us. It is the energy. It's the, you know, like a good way to think about it is if you need to get out of a situation quick, right? The energy level for you to move happens before you even recognize I need to get out of here. It's like the body knows when we need to move, and it's you're going. It's like already generated. It shuts down whatever it needs to shut down, whatever digestion you're trying to do with that food. If that needs to shut off, it'll cut that off and channel all this energy to get you to be able to move. This capacity of body, of vitality, this aliveness is this energetic ability to move through life and live our lives at whatever level of energy that we need in any given time. So you can see how mental activity takes up a lot of energy. And that mental activity is arising out of the emotional body. But if you're not paying attention, it is sucking all your energy away because the mental activity is just going, 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 going. And it is sucking the energy. Usually that mental activity is the sort of the mind's way of the vijnana way of sort of like dealing with emotions that you don't want to pay attention to. So the emotional body is holding this emotion, but we don't want to pay attention to it. So instead, the vijnana just starts talking about it, words going, stories going, pictures going. It is just draining all the energy so it can keep this little storyline going so you don't have to feel whatever that felt sense is. And it's usually working on some kind of fixing, comparing, judging, evaluating, talking it all out rather than learning to come into the wiser body, which is the felt sense of it. And then that emotion, just like any other wave, can roll out and move on. Or you can know from this wiser emotional capacity, what's the best way to deal with it. So in some respects, the same way the emotional body draws energy away from us, the physical body, when people are in a lot of pain or they have a lot of difficulty with their physical body, they can draw all the energy out of the vital body trying to keep themselves together with the difficulties they're having with the physical body. Same kind of thing. So what we do is we learn to appreciate the aliveness, the energetic flow of this vital body and not take it for granted. And that's what I meant by this all of a sudden having a care about the body that I was in, which I never had that sense of relationship with it. And so this was more of beginning to see that if we don't give this body an appropriate diet so that it can actually support our energy and do enough exercise to reinforce and invigorate this vital body, then we wear the body down just in our inability to deal with the physical and the emotional, which is where a lot of the pleasant, unpleasant is going rampant.
Is a strategy to end circumstances where you're addressing an emotion or you're addressing a physical problem, just to focus on the vital body itself and just focus on energy and focus on aliveness and let it work itself out? Or do you, I don't know if that's a...
No, I think what I would do is if you're noticing the drain on the vital body, that's how we kind of notice it, is because all of a sudden we notice I don't have the energy. I'm drained.
Yeah.
You can inquire, you can invite the emotional body and just to sit and listen a bit, or invite the physical body and sit and listen a bit. But I think if the drain is coming from emotions, the body that's designed to hold that is the emotional body. And it has the capacity for us to be with an emotion and not get overwhelmed. But if you use the vital body, I think it just depends on your, I'm not saying don't use the vital body. I'm just saying you can access the emotional body through the vital body, but really you want to be in the emotional body and allow that emotion to come forward. And you're in the emotional body. I think people avoid the emotional body because they can't feel it. Like, I don't feel anything. And if you're anything like me, it was because I kept looking for an emotion. I kept trying to feel into the emotional body by feeling an emotion. But the emotional body is not the emotions. It is the capacity to be able to have emotions. So you're resting back into this kind of knowing that there's an emotional energy here. I don't know what it is. I don't know why it's here. I can just feel that there's something draining on my vitality. And there's nothing physically wrong with me, but I feel a drain on my vitality. And then you can open to this kind of invite the emotional body to be known, be quiet, and just sit there and be patient. And then in time, I think you can begin to notice an emotion. The way I saw this was, I was doing some walking meditation and I had this song in my head and it wouldn't go away. And so I finally just stopped at the end of the path. And I'm like, why do I keep thinking of this song? Is this emotion? So I kind of invited the emotional body and I'm just standing there at the end of my path. And I never got to what the emotion was, but I could feel this sense of almost like the body saying, finally, she's recognizing me. I've been singing for 3 days trying to get you to notice me. Finally, you notice me. So it was that kind of a feeling. I burst out and started laughing because it was the first time I felt like, oh, this is the emotional body. And every time on a retreat now that I hear myself singing, I try to sense into, what is that? What is that? It's not the song. I always thought it was the song, but it's just the way my emotions speak to me, I guess, is in song. And so I hear the singing, but really it's the emotion, some emotion trying to talk to me. So in that particular case, as I started walking more, it was this sense of determination. And the song I was hearing was a song that I sort of like a Rocky song. It was that kind of a song, like this determination. But how your emotional body talks to you is different, but you sort of have to recognize if my vitality is being, if I'm being drained, it's probably in some respects an emotion you're not letting yourself hold. and you don't have to hold it. Your thinking mind doesn't have to hold it. You have the capacity to just allow emotions to be if you rest back in that body. And it's just practicing with that. I have another question here from Sarah. Sarah?
Yes, hi, Tweri.
Hi.
You, I think, a little bit answered it in the answer you just gave, but my question is about, like, in yoga practice, a lot of the language is around releasing things that are held in certain parts of the body. Mm-hmm. So moving this part or stretching this way can open or release certain emotions.
Yeah.
And so I was wondering, because I know you described yesterday that these are not like step one, two, three. They're more of like, you know, non-linear bodies connected. And so I was questioning, and I think the answer that I heard was, if an emotion comes to you and you are not giving it the space to be a wave and flow through you, how does it get stuck in your physical body? And I heard that because it kind of gets stuffed down when vinyana takes over.
That's right.
So vinyana sort of takes over and then that lives somewhere in your emotional body, and it'll continue live or in your physical body as a pain or a kink or an ache, and it'll continue living there until it gets the attention to flow like the wave that it wanted to be, but we didn't let it be.
Yeah, sort of, if for some people it's physical. For me, it's like mental chatter. It's just talking that's going on constantly. For some people, they house their emotions in their physical body and it can show up as physical pain. Like, I've had times where I had a very deep emotional difficulty. A lot of fear is what it was, a lot of fear, but I wouldn't admit that fear. And because I wouldn't admit that fear, I had this serious pain in my shoulder. And I think I remember telling people at Sims about it, because I was just afraid about Rodney's retiring and what we were going to do at Sims. But I didn't want to admit that I was afraid, given that I had taken on this responsibility to be a guiding teacher, and no one seemed to be talking about fear, but I'm panicking. And it wasn't until I allowed myself to actually open to that fear that I was able to let that pain go. I kept trying to deal with the pain, you know, taking ibuprofen, what do I need to do to get this pain, fixing the pain situation. But really what was going on was, this was, as weird as I could say it, I know this might sound weird, but it was like a tightly bound ball of knot of words and statements and things I was saying to myself. And it was held right here in this part of my shoulder. And when I finally opened to the fear itself, this could go away because I could now bring that fear into reality. There is that kind of a release that I hear you talking about.
Yeah.
But part and parcel of why we don't allow that fear to come is because we're afraid it's going to overwhelm us. So the importance of the resting, learning to rest and get to know this emotional body, is because we can learn that there is a capacity to hold this, that it will not be overwhelmed. That no matter how big the fear is, the body itself, the consciousness that knows fear is present, is not overwhelmed. It's not overwhelmed because it's not in the fear. It's just a knowing that fear is present. Mm. But it takes something, it takes some practice to learn how to be aware of fear and not in the fear. Mm-hmm. And that's what you're practicing with by constantly practicing getting to know the bodies themselves so that you know how to rest in the body when fear shows up.
Like learning, it's a learning to trust that no matter how wild the waves get, the ocean doesn't stop being the ocean. It's not like, oh, there's so many waves, it's not the ocean anymore.
That's right. Like,
but it's hard to trust that it's still the ocean when the waves are just, you know, it's very rough seas. But
that's right.
Okay.
So the only way you're ever going to trust the ocean is you actually have to get out there in the ocean. You have to actually begin to practice feeling into this emotional body. And for many of you like me, you're not going to have any felt sense of an emotional body. I don't know what it is. That's okay. You don't have to know what it is. It's there. But we just keep practicing, moving into it, trying it out. And eventually I begin to notice certain little sensations that every time I thought I was going towards the emotional body, that sensation would show up. And then eventually I'm like, oh, I think this is the emotional body. It doesn't, it's not what I thought it would be. Just so I don't want to point to you. So you, I don't want to I don't want to point in a way that you begin to think, but the only way I feel it is right here. This side and this side, it feels like I'm busting out of the seams. That's all I feel. But I have learned, I've realized over months of practice of feeling into the emotional body, and there I feel this little sensation right here. Now I know that that's the emotional body. And so I trust that and begin to rest in that whenever I see any kind of emotion. I think this is you, Rita. Is this you? Yeah, you're welcome, Sarah. Is this you, Rita?
Yeah, it is. Okay. My phone was broken and got named diagnostic iPhone. So anyway, I tried to change it, but it didn't change. My question is about the vital body. One of the things that I find to be true is that if I have sort of waning low energy, one of the ways to increase that is to do some kind of strenuous physical exercise. Swimming particularly is a way for me to make energy. So it's that I make energy by using energy, which, you know, it seems a little maybe counterintuitive. I say it to people and they are like, oh, really? But I find that it's absolutely true that somehow giving expression and a channel to the vital body or to energy, let me just put it that way. I don't know if it's a vital body. Is a way to create energy, to balance energy, you know, to have effect on energy. So I'm wondering if you can comment on that or if you've had any experience like that or what your thoughts are about it.
I think that is in line with the vital body completely. Because what the vital body is the capacity for aliveness. It's not your low energy. So when your energy is waning, that would be more like an object within the vital body capacity itself. So your ability to do something, I would say, to increase the breath, to increase the wind, would be pumping energy into the vital body. It would make sense to me that that's what it would be. This exercising the body is just something that supports the physical body, but you wouldn't necessarily have to do swimming or running, or many runners will say, that's how I, you know, I run and I can increase my sense of vitality. It's not so much whether you are swimming or you are running or what you're doing, because just the simple fact of walking very, very slow in a walking meditation period can balance out energy so you can go back and do another meditative sit. So, but what you're speaking to is the vital body. It is this understanding that the capacity that holds our vitality, that capacity is not what's waning. The capacity is the same, even if your energy level is waning for whatever reason. You can have the capacity to increase that vitality. And for you, swimming or doing some strenuous activity is a conversation that you and your body has that says, yes, I like it, give me more of that. Yes, I like it, give me more of that. And that's how you know that you're increasing the vitality. At the same time, your consciousness is also telling you when it needs some support because it begins to wane. And when you see that, you also know, I need to give it some support. Do you see what this is, the wisdom of that consciousness that we begin to pay attention to this embodied way?
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. So anybody want to tell me how you're doing on the practice? How's it going? What are you noticing? Don't be shy. You can't be wrong, because whatever you're noticing, that's what is the truth. Not like, it's not a true or false question.
Too early?
Yeah, go ahead, Kathy.
I'm swamped. I thought I understood something about emotions, for example, as being generated by thoughts that come from old stories that we take, that we carry from our the pains of our past, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm getting this emotional body, and I'm seeing it to, if I understand it correctly, it's a whole different world. I mean, it seems like a different world to me. Like it's much more expanded.
It is.
That's okay. So,
but your stories, think of your stories as being within the body. There is something else that I'm going to bring up now, I guess, Kathy, because you mentioned it. We'll talk about it more tomorrow. But the emotional body is attached and interwoven with our astral body, this traveling. So many of us, especially people who were traumatized, as soon as an emotion shows up, we travel somewhere else. We're like over here. I don't even know what's going on here because I'm over here. And you can do whatever you want here, but I'm over here in this world. And some of it is something happens. We travel back to a time when we were scared and we apply that feeling right here. So there's all this traveling going on with the astral body that gets connected with the emotional body because of we never were taught to rest in our emotional body. So when we get caught in emotions, that's why you could think of my singing music as traveling to the songs, whatever those songs, that song world. I mean, the singing heaven. That's where I travel to. So all I hear is the singing, and I'm not paying attention to the reality, the moment here in time. And I think that's what you're referring to, is that this emotional body, you notice that you've traveled somewhere, some memory, some family thing, some old childhood thing. Just like when I would notice the music playing in my head, if you begin to notice then I'm thinking of the old ways. I'm lost here back in, I'm 17. I'm 13 years old again. I'm back in this world. That is your body telling you there is an emotion here that you're not holding, that you're not expressing, I guess. There's a way, like Sarah was mentioning it, as in there's a felt sense of pain in the body, and then the yoga helps release it. This is like a, like your body talking to you. So it's this practice of sitting, settling, inviting the emotional body to be known, just being patient, learning to touch into it, and then you'll begin to feel the emotion. But the idea is to rest in the knowing that this emotion is present, not the emotion itself. There's a knowing. Something is amiss here. Something is happening. Something is going on. And see if you can just let it move through like all other emotions.
That's very helpful.
Good. I have a couple more hands. I'm going to take Jean, Rita, and then I'll take yours again. Go ahead, Jean.
Hi, Tiweri. So that sounds like that requires a lot of trust. If you have a lot of trauma, to be able to trust that this emotional body can hold something that has been so overwhelming. So I'm just, do you have tips for how you, is it just practice that engenders that trust, or?
That's what it is.
Okay.
Because you won't trust the body until you know it exists. Once you know the body exists, you'll begin to trust it. Mm-hmm. It's easier to trust the physical body, the vital body, the etheric body, and some of these other bodies that we feel, but the emotional body, we're so used to emotions that we don't necessarily trust it. So you have to keep inviting it in until you begin to sense, oh, I think I know that emotional body. Then you will trust it. But until you get a felt sense that it's actually there, you're right. I don't think we trust it.
Okay.
But gradually, as you practice calling it in at any time, you don't have to wait till you're in meditation. You could just call it in and begin to sense, is the emotional body present, or can it be known? And then you're going to begin to notice it in non-emotional moments in time. That's how you're going to build this trust up.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I have a couple more hands here. Let me see what you, Rita, what was your question? You're muted.
Yeah, I didn't have a question. You asked for what people's experiences were with the working with the bodies. And so I wanted to offer something in that regard. So working with the physical body, I guess I was expecting, and I've read, you know, some of Philip's book, and so I thought I sort of understood that, the physical body. But I sort of thought it was going to be like watching the breath. And so one of the things that was kind of startling and an aha moment for me today was seeing that one can focus on the entire body, the weight of the body, the stability of the body is more of a whole body experience as opposed to watching your breath or watching your fingernails or whatever.
Yeah.
So that was, yeah, that was sort of an epiphany for me to be able to unify the body in my awareness.
Yeah.
As opposed to seeing it is a, you know, watching some specific separate part. The other thing that comes up for me in terms of the emotional body is, I don't know about anybody else, but there are times when I will just feel an emotion come upon me that isn't connected with the story, where I don't have a story in my storyline in my head. And sometimes I think that that's, you know, generational pain, you know, being Black in America for 400 years, or, you know, that something is happening with a family member, I might check in with my kid. But there are times when I get an emotional hit that I don't identify with any series of events or in my own personal life. It's just as though I am in fact channeling this pain or this distress or this sadness that is unidentified source. So I'm just wondering if you want to speak to that or you just want to keep taking people's, you know, experience in.
No, it's the same thing. It is the capacity. We are emotional beings. And so we can pick up emotions from passerby, people that are walking past. It's like walking into a room where there's been an argument. You don't have to hear the argument to know there's been an argument in there. Well, what's that? It's because we're translucent like that. And we feel things. The thing that I think is important is beginning to connect with the body so that you know that even the out of the blue arising of emotion can be held.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think is the most important. I'm going to take these last few questions here. Mm-hmm. Patrick, I think it's Patrick.
I just wanted to share my experience, and that was, it was really fun in a way to try and notice all three bodies. And the first two were pretty easy, because I do that sort of normally in meditation. And one thing that always happens to me, as soon as I'm sitting for a bit, my hands get all warm and tingly, and you know, so I'm really feeling a lot of that.
That sounds like the vital body.
Yeah. And so today, the emotional body just, you know, I wasn't feeling anything. And I was just, I happened to be, I shut off my video and I was just looking at the screensaver on my thing. And it was a pond of water. And I was just sort of envisioning, you know, the emotional stuff would come in and fill up the body. As long as I was holding the banks of this, you know, pond or whatever.
Yeah.
But as you guys were talking, I was thinking, you know, I've sat and I've been fairly calm. And then all of a sudden during a sit, I'll remember that I forgot to call somebody or pay a bill or whatever. And this wave of, you know, embarrassment or whatever the emotion is can just, you know, wash over me. And I can go to the places, oh, I should do this. I'm going to do it at this time. And I have had the experience of just sitting there and saying, okay, where in the body does that come up? And, you know, it's just in my chest and there's all this other stuff in it. Trying to stay there and, you know, and my mind will still do all that stuff, but I can. So it's like when being a parent and your child says something and you, don't know, and there's hurt there or whatever, and you just want to fix it.
Yeah.
And it's so hard to just, you know, be quiet, listen to their feeling. It's that kind of thing. And our society just doesn't want us to be emotional either.
I'm glad you're saying what you're saying, Patrick, because the emotional body is not non-emotional. Mm-hmm. It's not like this. That's what I'm trying to say. What I thought was somehow I had to learn how to shave off the emotion, shave it off. So I'm all smooth and there's no emotion. I'm smooth. That's not what the emotional body is. It's like the ocean doesn't care that there's a hurricane. It's not trying to say, calm down, you guys, don't get them waves going too much. It doesn't, the waves can be however it is. But when we learn to recognize that we have an emotional body, that we have the capacity to hold emotions, then we're not caught in the torrent and the flowing and the throwing of the waves itself. We can know that it's happening, but we're not caught in it. That's what this learning about the emotional body brings to us. It doesn't shave off the emotion. It's not going anywhere. You're still going to feel the embarrassment. You're still going to feel the wishing I could help my daughter. You're still going to feel all that tug and that pull because that's the humanness. What you don't have is the mental torment that comes with it. You don't get lost in the fixing and the reactivity and all of that. You're just aware of the emotion. And if you're on retreat in the middle of a sit, you can know that is something I'm not going to take care of right now. You can just sort of let it come up and let it go. I got to get to some of these other hands. Now everybody wants to talk. So Albuquerque?
Sorry about that. I forgot to change my Zoom. I'm Donna.
That's okay. You're okay, Donna.
I thought it was really interesting this afternoon. I kept going back and forth between the physical and the emotional. I had a severe stomach pain.
Mm-hmm.
So I got off my cushion and I lied down. And normally that would throw me. Normally that would be, oh shit, my afternoon's ruined. But I vacillated between staying with the sensations in my stomach and then being curious about what's going on in the emotional body that somehow the knowing that the two are connected.
Yeah.
And not trying to figure it out too much, but just trying to relax, relax. But, you know, but I kept, it just was a funny feeling going back and forth between this is the pain, checking in, you know, almost like the check-in.
That's sweet.
So that was interesting for me.
It's like that. I was just going to add that when we bring the etheric body in tomorrow, mm-hmm. you're going to begin to see how this intuitive knowing that you were talking about, I just knew there's something between the two, that comes from the subtle body energies.
And I just have a question about the vital body. It's interesting that it's, initially, I was thinking about it more as it should always be high energy.
Yeah.
When it's low energy, I'm guessing from what we've been talking about, that's also not a problem.
No.
And it's not something that necessarily needs to be fixed, but just listen to. Because
I think I would say that the vital body is not the energy either way. The vital body, the energy would be the object that the vital body is aware of. So it's aware when the energy is low and it's aware when the energy is high. But it's the capacity to know your level of aliveness.
Good.
So it's the aliveness, it's that capacity to know this part of you as a human. Does that make sense?
Yeah, because then it's the same thing as the emotional body. It's the knowing. It's the knowing of it.
And so that knowing can help you know what I should do to help myself and support the body when my energy is low. And sometimes it can get caught up in too much energy because of all the emotional stuff going on with the emotional body that we know that we need to rest a little, calm the body down a little bit.
Okay. Thank you.
Leah? So you guys are free to leave if you want, or you can stay for these last three questions, but I'm going to answer these last three questions.
Hi, Terry. Hi, everybody. I just want to talk a little bit about my experience.
Yeah.
You know about my background of trauma and chronic illness. And so I tend to avoid retreats because when I sit, I hurt.
Hold on one second. I'm going to mute Rosie's phone. There we go.
And so I experienced a lot of pain. And then in the middle of the day, sure enough, fatigue, like falling asleep. And then, but during the walking, it's a lot easier because I was up and moving. And, you know, I was reminded that any kind of emotion for me is very difficult. And so I was sensing into the fact that I was always having an emotion and having difficulty with it. I sense this fight in me constantly. It's not like, oh, there's an emotion and it's gone. It's like they're all battling for attention and there's too many of them. And even the even joy is battling for attention. So just, I guess, and then the last thing is that I enjoyed the meditation on the physical body because, you know, I have trouble with trust and feeling safety. Like I belong in my body, like I deserve to be in it.
Yeah.
Really got a sense of like, oh, the body is stable. It's weighted. It's earthbound. I got this sense that I can be here.
And yeah.
I often feel that way. So I had, as you can see, a huge experience with this meditation today. And like I said, it's really hard for me to think with it.
I do think that the etheric will add some help with this, right? Because the emotional body, you know, maybe it's the word, but we get so stuck on that emotion that we're so afraid that we're going to have to open to some emotional overwhelm. But actually, what you're trying to begin to sense into is just like you have a respiratory system that keeps your breathing going, and you don't have to do anything about that. It's going to keep you breathing without you doing anything. You have a digestive system that's going to keep you digesting food. You can eat a paper sack, an apple. It doesn't matter what you eat. It's going to digest it. It may not understand why you want to eat a paper sack, but it's going to digest it nonetheless. So the point of learning to connect with this emotional body is that is where I believe our sense of safety rest, because that body has the ability to hold emotion and it is not overwhelmed by it. It is as natural and functioning as your respiratory system is. So you can have a cold and the respiratory system is caught into, you know, having a difficult time because of the congestion, but it is still going to figure out a way to get the breath in and out, in and out, in and out. So this is what this emotional body does for us. So I think when we get into the subtle bodies, those subtle bodies will bring in a degree of spaciousness that when we come back down, you might be able to sense some spaciousness in the subtle bodies. But because we're going up, I think the emotional body feels very much like I got to step into this big old vat with all these emotions. That's not actually what you're doing. You're walking around the edges and you see the vat of emotions over there and you're like, that's ugly in there, but I'm not going in there. You're not in the vat with them. But you won't necessarily feel that. Some people don't actually feel that capacity aspect until they're coming down from the subtle bodies, because now they've connected with this natural, also equally normal aspect of spaciousness and stillness, and they're coming back in through the etheric body, which supports the emotional body. So you might feel this capacity opening tomorrow. For those of you that are having some difficulty connecting with the emotional body. Let me get to Jennifer.
Hi, how are you? So I think I'm having trouble differentiating between the emotional body, my emotions, and the vital body. So I experience emotions very physically. They I don't have a lot of chatter. I don't have a lot of image making. There isn't a lot of storytelling. It's a very physical experience.
Yep.
And I almost wonder if I have been experiencing the emotional body and mislabeling it as an emotion.
Or mis- oh, because you're feeling the situation?
Yeah, I don't know if this is possible. I sort of always thought, this is my trauma. And I labeled it and I packaged it neatly. This is my trauma. But it has a very, it's a lot like what you're describing. It's an ocean. It's very infinite. It's enormous. And it has the capacity to hold a lot of things.
That's right. And so physical things are happening, but you're not caught up in the physical things that are happening, is what you're saying?
I mean, I think I've always been afraid of it because it feels so big. And so I just labeled it as my trauma. And I wonder if it's something that I need to kind of step back and have a new relationship with.
I don't know. I think that if you're experiencing that kind of a question, that's what I would try.
Okay.
I think when you're having that kind of, it's sort of like someone said, someone said that they had this sense that there's something in relationship between Albuquerque. Dada said that there's a relationship between the physical and the emotional and just lying down and beginning to feel into that. That's sort of what I think you're saying. There's a way in which our bodies talk to us to tell us what is needed to support them. And granted, we don't listen most of the time, but when you're actually going through the meditation and you're quiet and you're listening, there is a sense of them talking to you to talk about what's needed and what's really present.
Okay. And thank you.
Yeah. Was there something else?
Well, the vital body, is the differentiation between the vital body and the emotional body very clear?
Because the vitality, our aliveness, is intersected with this idea that we can have emotions. So oftentimes the vital body and our emotional bodies are intertwined with each other because of this energetic way in which the vital body shows up. Oftentimes that energetic flow is tied up with our emotional energies too, which is also tied up with the physical sensations of feeling emotions. So it's not like these bodies are separate, but we can get caught in the overwhelm of the feeling of the sensations or the energetic feel of anxiety. And the emotional body, learning to get to know that, allows us to rest into a space that energy doesn't topple us over, because we're not in the energy. We're in the capacity that knows that energy is there. So like whenever I'm going to give a Dhamma talk, I'm always in a state of panic. And I've learned to just hold that state of panic, not as me, but just a felt sense in the body. So Tuareg's not in a state of panic. There's just a best way to say it is some kind of state of panic is showing up here, but it's not me. It's just state of panic in the air, that kind of feel. And if it's that kind of feel, I can be with that, just like wind can be in the air, but it's not me. It's just wind. So, you know, we go out there, we got to tighten up a little bit so our hats don't blow off. That's
really helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, one more. Patricia.
Hi, Tuareg. How are you?
Hi, good.
So it's around the emotional body, the question. Mm-hmm. What you just said was helpful, but I guess I'm wondering about the practice of it. Like, and I guess I'm thinking specifically of sadness and of like the manifestation of sadness.
Yeah.
And like, I can see it as a way. So I have a couple of analogies. Like sometimes I can sense sadness and it feels deep or loss, and it feels, here's my analogy. My analogy is like diving. If you've ever gone scuba diving, when you're in the surface of the water, it can be really choppy and you can get kind of seasick up there. But if you go deeper into the water, there is a completely different view. It's still the water, but it feels very different and it's not as choppy. And I'm liking it. I'm going through grief and sadness right now. I lost my mom.
Yeah.
And when I'm in the grief, it's like I'm in the choppiness. But when I'm in the sadness, it feels like a deeper, like just a loss.
Yeah.
But like, I don't really know how to relate to like being with either one. Like, I don't know how to explain it. Like what you just said about the panic, it's like, okay, but how do you practice with that? How do you stay in just the awareness of, or is it just like, I'm going to be, do you know what I mean?
Yes, I know what you mean. So depending on how long you've lost your mother, right? I lost mine. It takes a while to get past that difficulty. And no one can say how long you're going to be up in the choppy waters and when you're going to go down in the depth and am I going to stay down there? Am I never going to come back up? You don't know. I mean, that's all of this is inherent with losing your mother. You can't get away outside of it. So what I would say the emotional body would be most helpful in this is the understanding that the pain of losing mama is an of itself difficult to bear, but that I can bear it for as long as I need to bear it. This is what the emotional body you begin to feel into. You have to rest back into this understanding that says, I don't have to be okay and have this pain go away. The vijnana type consciousness says, I won't be okay until the pain's gone away. The luminous consciousness says, I know there's pain here. I understand what it's related to. And this is a natural part of life. And I'm going to be okay. Whether the pain is here or not here. I'm going to be able to go through the choppiness. I don't like it. I'm going to go through the depth. I don't like it. There's a body that we're going to get to. It's the intuitional body we get to tomorrow. In that body, Philip uses a phrase all the time, and I think it's so right. Which is why I think some of what we're experiencing, all of us, is we're too much in the manifest. It's manifest, manifest, manifest. But as we go into these subtle bodies, there's a phrase that Philip uses in the intuitional body, which is well-being that includes non-well-being. So there's a way in which this subtle knowing that I know I'm going to be okay. It's not okay right now, but there's a knowing that it will be okay. That knowing you need in order to be in the manifest world with mama being gone. That's what you need, is that knowing also. It's there. It always has been there. But this is a practice about learning how to connect with these levels of consciousness that actually support us as human beings walking an awakening path. Because in an awakening path, we got to be up close and personal with difficulty. Not because we're not trying to get rid of it. And you're not trying to come up with some quick fix way to no longer feel it. What we're trying to do is, how can I be with this experience from wisdom and not reactivity? That's what I think these nine body capacities offer. So you trying to learn to feel into the emotional body when you're in the depth of sadness or in the choppiness of grief is a very hard thing to do. I think that's what Jean was pointing to. It requires so much trust, it's hard to do that. So that's almost like a contemplative kind of knowing I'm going to be okay. Just this mantra. I know I'm going to be okay. I don't know when, I don't know how, but I know I'm going to be okay. When you're not caught in the grip of that pain, you can begin to just invite the emotional body to be known, not the emotions. It's not going to bring up a whole torrent of emotions because you call on the body. The body itself is an experience, a felt sense of just a knowingness.
I've been aware of that. It's just like, I guess what I notice is like, I guess I'm wondering if there's some other way to practice with it when I'm in the grips of it.
More. When you're in the grips of that sadness, if you've practiced with the body, the emotional body itself, when you're in the grips of that sadness, I would call on the emotional body to help you. That's the way I would say it. I would invite the body, may the emotional body be known, come and help me, just like that. And the reason why I'm pointing it that way is because I got caught on that 3-month retreat triggered in a past trigger, emotional craziness, overload. And I was standing in the lunch line about ready to panic. And I asked the emotional body to come and help me hold this. And that's exactly what happened. I felt this sense of, okay, I can stand here. I can be okay. It didn't get rid of it was a mixture of anger and sadness all globbed together. It didn't get rid of that, but I no longer felt overwhelmed. Like underwater, can't breathe, kind of overwhelmed. I felt like, okay. This is purification. It is the nature of meditation to do this. I'm gonna let it rise and pass. Do you see? So you can be in the grip of that emotional moment without it having to go away right now, or I can't make it. That's what you lose. You gain this capacity to be with it, and it's not so overwhelming. But the emotion itself, that passes on its own. Mm-hmm. Do you see the difference? So I would invite the emotional body specifically to help me hold this. And I add that language, come and help me hold this. So you can begin to get a sense and trust that the body has the capacity to do that.